Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
But today we start a brand new series all the month of February, because February is a month we call Valentine's. Amen. Guys, don't forget, it's Valentine's month. Don't forget, guys. And ladies, don't you forget either. Amen. And so on that, I always like to preach something about marriage. And this year, as I'm praying about it, God said the title of this is going to be Marriage Help. In that phrase, not just marriage help, marriage help. How many of you know marriages don't stand still? They get better, they get worse, but they don't stand still. And God's intent for your marriage is for it to get better. Now, if you're not married, you pay attention because you want to go into a marriage knowing this. Amen? Oh, we're going to have some fun today, I hope. But I've never met a marriage that didn't need help at some point in time. Okay? I've met a lot of marriages that didn't get the help. And I've seen them destroyed. I've seen a lot of marriages when they realize we need help and they look to God and godly couples and godly counsel, their marriage always gets better. And I've seen some marriages, to be honest with you, in my flesh, I thought, they're not going to make it. Too much sin, too much failure, too much everything's going on in this marriage. I don't see, and I'm not telling them that. But again, based off years of experience in counseling and marriages and doing a lot of marriage stuff, you just like statistics are, and I'm believing in faith for them, but I've seen some of those marriages when they both realize they need help of the Lord in their marriage and that they need to do it God's way, I've seen those marriages completely restored, healed, and better than ever. I've also seen some marriages come in, it's like, okay, they just need like a little tune-up, nothing really major here, and they end up hating each other and getting a divorce. And I'm totally blown away. I'm like, you guys, y'all didn't have, that's really not a problem. So every marriage needs help at some point in time. And if you're blessed enough not to have a marriage that's never needed any help, it probably, if you live long enough, you'll probably get there. Amen? Go ahead and put up my favorite note of all. You probably know what's coming. Marriage works 100% guaranteed all the time when you do it God's way. It cannot and will not ever fail, because God doesn't fail. So when you do marriage the way God says, and the way God says is found, guess what? In His Bible. Now, each week we're going to go through the letters HELP, H-E-L-P. This week's just so happens to be the letter H, starting with, everybody say H. Now, some of the words that God gave me for the letter H in marriage help is, number one, your marriage should be like heaven on earth. Everybody say heaven. Heaven. It's not going to be in your notes, so you want to write this down. The first word is heaven. Your marriage should look like and reflect heaven on earth. You're in love with the one person God birthed in the whole entire universe for you to be with. You're in love. You found each other. You're married. And God's blessing it. Hallelujah. So your marriage should be like heaven on earth. The second H God showed me is, the first one is, everybody say heaven. The second one is hell. Let's get real. A lot of marriages, including in the church, are going through hell. There's hell in your life. There's hell in your spouse's life. There's hell in your marriage. I didn't think I'd get no reaction out of that. Which leads me to my third H. You got to be honest about where you're at. Because if you're not living a heavenly marriage, you're living a hellish marriage. Because there is no in between. It's heaven or hell. Come on. So you got to be honest. And again, honesty in a marriage is where you trust each other. It's where you can share your deepest thoughts and concerns and maybe even your deepest fears and even your dreams and your desires in life. It's a place to be honest with. And it should be a place that you can be honest and be trusted there, that it will not be used against you in a court of law. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. Two more. And then the next one, the last one is honor. Marriage should be honorable among all things, which means each spouse should honor the spouse in front of them. Amen. So when you show honor, you're showing God's heart to that person. You're showing God you're thankful for what he's blessed you with when you honor something. And if you really have honor for something, you want to take the best care of it possible. You want to see it prosper. You want to see it grow. And then the last H is the word of this whole thing. It just means help. So we need help to have a heavenly marriage. We need help to stay out of a hellish marriage. We need help learning how to be honest. We need help learning how to honor. We need marriage help. Hallelujah. Now, let's just go ahead and rip some of the Band-Aids off. I'm going to tell you, ladies, straight up today, I'm starting with you. Ladies, I'm starting with you. I love you. I love you tremendously. You are vitally important. You are in God's image. You were created by God himself. Some people say sometimes when I preach, well, you're male chauvinist. You're just preaching. Look, I live in a house with all estrogen for years. I have a wife whom I just celebrated yesterday, 34 years, or we've been married 34 years yesterday. I have four daughters. Female dog, two female cats. Dog's dead and going home to be with Jesus. The cats are still around, and I have one daughter still at the house. But I grew up for years. I've lived for years in a house full of estrogen. I know about women now better than I ever did. But I still don't know a lot. Can I have a grunt there, man? I'm still trying to learn about you women. Y'all are a different breed, I promise you. But now let me say this. Men and women are equal. We are in the sight of God. We are equal, but we are not the same. By God's design, thank the Lord. When I look in the mirror, I thank God I didn't marry something like what I'm seeing. I'm glad he made you women beautiful and pretty and soft to touch. And yes, thank you. You did good. That's why I said the Bible says that man is a man. And when Adam seen woman, he said, whoa, man. Whoa, you did good. Excellent, dude. Excellent, Lord. So we are equal. Everybody say we're equal. But we are nowhere near the same. We have different roles that God gave us in life. And I want to give you some of those roles in case you don't know it this morning. We're going to start ladies first. That's why you're getting the first message of this. But do not despair, ladies, today. Men, they're coming down the pike in the next couple of weeks. So we're going to cover it all. Everybody say women. Do you know that God made woman in the image of himself, and he put her in a place where only she could be a wife? Only a woman gets the privilege of being a wife throughout life. Now, I know today, now let me tell you something. Nothing about this message is going to be politically correct in today's modern times. But I got news for you, and I don't shuck no, it ain't nothing to me. Only a woman can be a wife. Now, only a man can be a husband. Amen. You cannot intertwine the two. Unfortunately, in one of the times we live in, a lot of women, because of our governmental structure back years ago, decided it's better to kick the husband out, get him dependent upon the government check, and therefore a lot of homes are single mom homes. If y'all didn't know that, go study that. Okay, they paid the women to have children out of wedlock. It's called welfare. It was implemented by the government that if you have a husband in the home, you will not get nothing from the government. But if you don't have a husband in the home, then we'll provide for you. And then you wonder why the downfall of the family has happened like it has. Now, a lot of them shacked up, not married. Come on. Come on, that's right. She knows. I'm just speaking. Again, I'm going to bring you truth today. It's not popular, I know, but I'd rather not be popular with the world and be right with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So women, you are the only role ever created by God to be a wife. Men, you are the sole creation to be a husband. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good. Now women, because you were created to be the wife of a husband, God uniquely created you with the ability to receive the man's seed into your life. And when you receive that man's seed, women, you are the only thing that produces an egg for the seed to impregnate. So women, you are designed to receive seed. Amen? And only a woman can give birth. Because it has to have a woman's seed and the seed of man for God to work what God created. Men, you are a giver of seed. You have seed to give. Now, let me say this, and I know it's kind of funny. Your seed belongs only in one garden. You're not called to start gardens everywhere. Your seed belongs in one and one only garden. What if we've made a mistake there? Male or female? Maybe some of you females, you've gotten a lot of different garden tools. This is why God put in place in marriage and stupidity as young adolescents, forgiveness and repentance. And no matter where you're at, there's room at the table if you've been there before, but you don't go there anymore. You repent, you plead the blood, you are clean before God, and you are fresh and new before the Lord. And you live the rest of your life in one garden with one seed. So the women receive seed, the men give seed. Women have the ability to become a mother. Isn't that awesome? Men, we get the privilege of becoming a father. Now, let me tell you this. You do not become a mother at childbirth. Men, you do not become a dad or a father at the birthing of the child. You become a father and a mother the moment the seed takes root in the garden. At the moment of conception, you are a mother and a father. And you're waiting the arrival of parenthood in that child. You see, even our government... Our governmental law says it's okay to kill a baby in a womb. Now watch this. The same government says that if a woman is pregnant at any stage and she's in an accident or she gets murdered or homicide, if they find out she's pregnant, no matter what stage the child is in, it's a double homicide. Now how messed up is that? We recognize two lives at the beginning of inception here, but you can kill a baby plumb up to the womb and even out of the womb now. A mother, it can only be a woman, and a father can only be a dad. Now, ladies, I applaud you. You have done a fabulous job in the absence of sorry fathers. And I know you're trying your best, but ladies, listen to me now. The worst mistake you can make with your child, even if you are a single mom, is trying to be a dad to a child. Be a mother. That's what that child needs. Don't try to be the dad. Be the mother. Now, two more rows of women and two more rows for men. A woman, by the gifting of God, created you nurturing. Amen? We didn't get that. For the most part, I mean, we have some there, but not like you. You women have a massive capacity for nurturing child, for nurturing people and concern and grace and mercy and. But here's our role as men. We do have nurture in us, but it's not our top thing. The Bible tells us, men, that where she's the nurturer, we are to be the provider. Come on. Ladies, help me out a little bit there. The men are supposed to be the provider. We're going to pass some hankies out. Now, the last one I'm going to reserve, I'm going to start with the man first and finish with the ladies because we're going to move on from there, ladies. One of the last things, now it's not the last, this is no order here, but one of the last thing on my list is, men, you and I were created by God himself to be a leader. Everybody say a leader. No, take that down. Not yet. But good, they're on it up there. I don't know who's running today, but they own up there. So let's look at the men. Husbands, seed givers, fathers, provider, leader. That's a biblical mandate in your life, men. In case you didn't know it, that's who you're supposed to be. That's the roles God has given you to fulfill while you walk planet Earth. Now, women, let's look at yours again. Wife, receiver of the seed, mother, nurturer. And the last one is where we're going to stop at today and go the rest of the time on your roles, lady. The Bible says helper. Everybody say helper. Now, I know a lot of women don't say, I'm not a helper. I'm as equal. Again, we are equal, but we are not the same. Now, you're going to, how do I say this real nice? The more weathered, mature, experienced women of the church will be amening a lot. Younger girls will be going, I don't know if I like this. I don't know if we're coming back here. It's because of the culture you were raised in. You're raised in a culture that got away from the Word of God in a woman's place. Just that word right there, a woman's place. How dare him say a woman's place. You have a place, I have a place. I want to be put in my place by the Word of God. Now go ahead and put up that note. Men, husbands, we are here to love and lead. Everybody say, that's right. Come on, ladies, say, that's right. You're supposed to love me and lead. Women, next. Ladies, women, wives, you are here to love and to help. Everybody say, help. Some of y'all say, help me real quick. Lord, I'm about to get offended. Now, this is not going to be in your notes, but you may want to write this down. It's a little acronym for the word HELP, H-E-L-P. When focused at marriage, and really this works for any part of your life, I hope, HELP means helping everything live peacefully. And your marriage needs to have peaceful living in it. Let me ask you this, ladies. Does your husband look forward to coming home, or does he see another battle? Think about it. Guys, have you created a house where your woman wants to be or something she dreads? Is there peace in the marriage? Help means, again, helping everything live peacefully in the home, in the marriage, in the family. And it goes to kids, too. Now, again, this is not going to be a popular modern-day message. It's going to be a biblical message from the Bible. Everybody say helper. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, who said? Everybody say, God said. God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I, God, will make him a helper comparable to him. Amen? Some translations say compatible. So now, who's talking here? God's talking, and who's going to do the creating? God. So this is all God's idea. Ladies, listen to me. Guys, listen to me. Adam did not come up with this idea by himself. It wasn't his idea at all. God looked down and he said, I've seen all the creation. I've seen the trees and all the landmass and all the air. I've even looked through all the animals, and there's nothing comparable to Adam for him to really have a relationship with. Adam didn't even know that. He was just happy-go-lucky. But God knew what he wanted to have in the earth, in the marriage. And he said, there's nothing here good enough. So ladies, you're no second choice. There was nothing there good enough. So he knocked Adam out, took one of the ribs from Adam, and he made a woman. Awesome creation. Amen? 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 So this whole relationship of marriage, everybody say it's God's idea. And if it's God's idea, God's responsible for it. And if God's responsible for marriage, he's not going to leave you to yourself to figure it out. Thank God he didn't leave marriage up to us. He wrote us an instruction book. And anytime you do it God's way, you got 100% guaranteed that it's going to work. It's when you get outside that 100%. It's when you're only operating at 99%. Well, you know, marriage is 50-50. Baloney, that's divorce. Divorce is where you split stuff 50-50. Marriage is 100% plus 100% plus God. Now you can succeed. Okay? Everybody say that's right. Amen? All right. Go ahead and put up the next note. Women, you were made out of Adam, man, to help the man God gives to you. You're not here to help another man. Let me say that again over here. You're not here to help another man. You're here to help the man God blesses and gives to you. That's Bible. Everybody say, that's the Bible. Now I'm going to go to a place a lot of people don't even realize that marriage is talked about in 1 Peter. But Peter, the Apostle Peter, was married. So God's inspiring him by the Holy Spirit to write on marriage. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Likewise, who are we talking to here now, guys? Look at the second word. Say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Wives. So all you wives, this is for you out of the word of God, not me, the word of God. You, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. Doesn't say you be subject to no one else's husband. You be subject to your husband. Oh, we got that. So that even if some, now the some there are husbands. So it really could read like this. So even if some of those husbands do not obey the word, talking about the word of God. Everybody say, that's the word of God. So even if you've got a husband that's not obeying and not acting like the man of God, he's not being the leader he needs to be, he's not being honest, he's not being honorable towards you, then you've got a right to nag the doolittle out of him. Take one upside his head, make him sleep in another room, prove your point. Just thrash that man. But that's what happens in a lot of marriages, even in the Bible today. Or not in the Bible, but in the church today. Let me start over again. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husband, so that even if some of those husbands do not obey the word, they may be won over a prize. Now, this is very important. Say the next two words with me. Without a word. Ladies, look at me. Kim, look at me. Ladies, focus. You got a husband that ain't acting right all the time? The Bible says you win him without a word. Now, the word up there, when it says he's not obeying the word, is talking about the manifested word of God. The word here means your word. It's not talking about the Bible. He will be won without you having to mouth to him. Amen. Guys, I was expecting a whole lot more there. But apparently your wife may be a little mouthy and you're scared right now. I know. I know. You probably are using some more godly wisdom than I am right now. That's in the Bible. Woo! I'm going to read it again. This is so Bible, I'm going to read it again. Everybody pay attention. Likewise, wives, be subject to your husband, then even if he don't obey the word, he's going to be won without you having to say a word by the conduct of their wife. Everybody say conduct. Conduct. Come on, I just want to hear the ladies say conduct. Conduct. You know what that is? That's the way you act and talk. I'm preaching now. Without a word and simply by the way you treat them, you can bring a man into the word and salvation, or you can bring a man back to it. You have that kind of power, ladies. Seriously, you do. That's a lot of power. Now, before we go on to the verse 2, put up the next note. Another word for subject is submission. Submission is an attitude. Obedience is an action. And I'm not even going to the scripture today where it says, wives, obey your husband in the Lord. But that's in there, and you know it is. But I left that out because that's how good I am. But I just brought it up because, anyway. But read that. Submission is an attitude. And it really is. You can have an attitude of submission to a person, especially your spouse, but obedience is only when you put it into action. So basically what I'm saying is submission, your attitude towards submission will determine your action. So you can say you're submitted all day long, and here's what I find a lot. Now, ladies, I love you. But when I'm doing a lot of counseling, I'll find a wife, and she'll admit it finally. Yes, I want him to lead, and I want to submit to him as long as he does what I want him to do. Shake your head, ladies. Yeah. I want my man to lead. I want him to lead this family as long as he leads it exactly the way I want him to. I'll follow him. But let him mess up one time. Let him do something I really don't think we ought to do. I'm going to question, why? How come you're doing this? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? What do we do? Don't you think it'd be blah, 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 blah. Good preaching, amen. Now, the only time you can disobey is when someone is telling you, what'd you say? The Lord just quickened my spirit. What did you just say? No, they're not calling you to the nursery. You're called to sit right here today. And we just celebrated 34 years, y'all. Yesterday. All right, let's invite the Holy Spirit back. The only time you can disobey. Because you can disobey and still be submitted. That is absolutely possible. You can stay submitted, which is about your attitude. You can still hold that attitude of honor and respect and glorifying and not do what they say when it goes against the Word of God. Ladies, if you've got a husband that's telling you to do something perverted that goes against the Word of God, you can look at him and say, I love you, but I reject that by the Word of God. But I still love you and I'm still going to honor you. You don't cut them down. You don't try to trash them. You just simply say, if someone comes into me today, if one of my mentors, one of my pastor friend mentors come to me today and said, Pastor Joey, you know, this person over here has been giving us a problem. Would you go kill him for us? To be honest with you, a couple of my mentors, I would actually think about it. If you're hurting this man, I'm going to hurt you. I mean, seriously, that's what's going on. But I'm not going to do it. But I'm still going to respect my mentor, my father figure, or ladies, your husband. I'm not going to trash them. I'm just going to say, you know, I would love to do that for you, but unfortunately I can't because of the Word of God. But I'm still going to maintain that respect and honor and submission. But what I love to do is be submissive and obedient. Because your actions prove what you're submitted to by your actions. Everybody say, moving right along. Let's go to verse 2. Now, let me back up to verse 1. Leave that up there. And I'm going to read verse 1 and flow right into verse 2. Wives, be subject to your own husbands so that if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when your husband sees your respectfulness and your pure conduct. Everybody say pure conduct. Pure. Now just the ladies say pure conduct. What that means is they see you actually operating in submission and obedience with a glad heart, not out of, or I'm going to get you later. It's going to cost you, buddy. No. They see how you respect. Now, the number one need of a woman is security. And her security comes through a man of God, a leader of God, a provider of finances and a home. That's a woman's number one need. Can I have an uh-huh, ladies? Uh-huh. Now, ladies, what's the number one need of a man? It's not sex. I knew I'd get that. Because that's what the world thinks. Now, it's right there. I mean, there's not even a mustard seed between one and sex. We see them as the same thing. The number one need of a man is respect, especially in his own home. That's the number one need, followed real closely by the other. Make no mistake about it, they go together. When they see, ladies, when they see your respect and your pure conduct, the pure heart of wanting to be there in that relationship, the response you have to them, whether they did good or whether they did bad, it matters to relationships and it matters to God. Now, let me read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. I want to put this in the Amplified Bible. Everybody say the Amplified Bible. Now, ladies, a lot of you love Joyce Myers. And Joyce Myers is huge on the Amplified Bible. Yay for that. It's a good read after you understand the basics. But I love the way the Amplified Bible puts this. Go ahead and put up the same scripture, verse 2. It explains it to you. Go ahead and put that up. Now, talking about wives, this is how you win your husbands. When the husband observes the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourself together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him. All that reverence includes this list. Everybody say, here we go. Go ahead with the next part. To respect. Now, we're talking about toward the husband, the wife toward the husband. I'm going to put him in there. To respect him. To defer to him, to revere him, to honor him, to esteem him, to appreciate him, to prize him, and in the human sense, to adore him. That is, to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband. Leave that verse up there. One lady's clapping. He's going to hear, that's my wife. Why didn't that get an overwhelming applause? Why didn't it? Because we don't like that. That's not modern or cool or hip. We've been taught by a society that we don't even, as a woman, we really don't even need a man no more. Because you know what the number one thing when I ask a woman, okay, what would, in a relationship that would make your heart full, what would you have? What are the qualities? Do you know what she'll describe every single time? She'll describe another woman. Well, I want somebody caring and compassionate and loving and enjoys the Hallmark movies. Someone who will, you know, lay with me and cuddle. Someone I can talk with and share my thoughts. They'll understand and we can laugh and sip a cup of tea. Now, I'm not saying a man can't go there. We can learn to go there. But that's foreign territory to us. And if we go there, we're only going for one reason. We love you. Or we wouldn't go there at all. Men? Now, I believe that men ought to be loving, compassionate, understanding, and caring, and tender. But we also, men, have a switch where we become the most deadliest person in the room to protect our wives. That's right. Hoorah! That's right. You girls don't have that. Thank the Lord y'all don't have that. Or we'd be at war with y'all in our own home. Some of y'all are already there. But it wasn't God's idea. Now, look at the last words of that. And if I ask you today, ladies, would you like to go back to the time where you just enjoyed being around your husband? Every one of them would say, yes, I would love to go back to that. Respect him, defer to him, revere him, honor him, esteem him, appreciate him, think of him as a prize, and in a human sense, adore him, and admire him, praise him, be devoted to him, be deeply in love with him, then you can enjoy your spouse. Bible. But when you have the opposite of that attitude towards your spouse, maybe because of the way you were brought up in, if you had a home and a mother that taught, see, you learned wifing from somebody. You learned wifing. You learned how to wife from somebody. Husbands, you learned how to husband from some role model in your life. It could have been a parent. It could have been a sibling. It could have been an aunt or uncle. It could have been somebody in church. I don't know where you learned it from, but your trait, some of it's probably there. And even if they were Christian, if they didn't do right themselves all the time and show you God's example, then you've got a trait of that you're trying to work into your marriage, whether you realize it or not. You've got a soul tie with somebody else besides your spouse. And soul ties are not good outside of marriage. And so sometimes you got to unlearn some things and you got to refocus your energy. You got to refocus your time and your effort and get back to what the Bible says. I love y'all. 1 Peter chapter 3. Thank you. I'm 10:2. Thank you so much. And that was a woman that said that. Or a man with a real high voice. Nowadays, you just never know. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read on verse 3 through 6. We're actually going to end up in 7, but I just want to concentrate on 3 through 6 real quick. I got to move. Don't be concerned, ladies, about the outward beauty or fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. Stop. Don't be concerned. The word concerned there means consumed. Some people are so consumed, women especially, with how they look. Is my hair right? Is my makeup perfect? Have I got enough bling? Am I blinging right? Am I drip? You know, if you want to get hip, are you drip? Am I drip with this? Okay. Verse 4 says, you should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet. Reading you the Word of God. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. God don't want to hear it either, ladies. I love y'all. Now let me go back up to the first part. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty. Now it uses the word concern there as when it consumes you. Trust me, us men believe this. If the barn needs some paint, paint the barn. Amen? We like you looking good. We like you smelling good. It's okay to adorn yourself. But what it's saying here is don't make that your whole thing about who you are. You are not just what's on the outside. You're more what's on the inside. I didn't marry my wife for what's on the outside only. I married her for what's on the inside of her. Amen? So my buck 25, 125-pound wife, when we had our first kid, topped the scales at 200 pounds. Am I not supposed to tell that? Look here, just waddled everywhere. And you know what? She was still as beautiful as the day I married her. I didn't love her any less. I loved her more. Amen? Now, with the next one, she didn't gain but about 20 pounds. Kayla, you can eat. Kayla and Trinity can eat you out of house and home. The other two just kind of pick around like a bird, like their mama. The other two got their eating habits from me. Amen? So it's not about just the outward appearance, but ladies, listen to me now. And I'm not trying to be cruel here, but your beauty, I don't care how much you dip, do, splatter, paint, whatever, your beauty is going to fade with age. Your physical beauty, that is. Come on. I'm just trying to keep it real. So if you're dependent on all of this and this is all you offer your husband, what do you got to offer once that fades? I'll tell you what the world's going to offer him, a younger chick. That's why you better be good in here. That's why you better understand the Word of God. Because your beauty needs to be attractive from the inside first, then the outside. Amen? Nothing wrong with keeping yourself up, keeping fit, making products. I'm all for it. Thank you, Jesus, for it. But if it wasn't for the inside of my wife, I wouldn't want nothing to do with her. I don't care how. Can I put it in some English you might understand? Yeah. Women are always like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do I look? And every one of you want to be a 10. That's all you want to hear. I'm a 10. All right, ladies, look at me. Your looks, you get yourself all dolled up. You get your hair like you like it. You spend enormous amounts of money. And I'm going to take the time just to say this right here. In my house, if it catches on fire, I thought about, I'm going to run for the pictures. I'm going to run for this. I'm going to run for this. I'm running for the makeup drawer. That is the most expensive thing in my house. I got this jar of cream for $79. I got a bottle of Rim Oil to oil my guns for $3. Dude, I'm going to the back. I'm grabbing that makeup bag. Let's put all them thousands of dollars on and in you right here, and you present yourself, ladies, you're a 10. But your attitude's a 3. Listen to me, ladies. Your looks is a 10. Your attitude is a 3. You're a 3. To any man who's got any kind of common sense to him and any godliness, you may be a 10 in looks, but if your attitude is a 3, you're a 3 to that man. Or he'll use you just till the 10 wears out, and then when you drop down to the 3, he'll throw you away. Because you don't bring nothing else to the table. I love y'all. I'm about to keep saying it a lot in this series. All right, we got to go. Come on. Come on. Just start playing. Maybe I would do quicker. I don't know. Y'all getting anything out of this today? Yeah. Ladies, are y'all getting anything? Yeah. Men, are y'all can say it too if you're getting a little something. What verse we need to go to next? Go ahead and just put it up. This is how the holy women, everybody say the holy women. Didn't say the whoring women, it said the holy women. This is how the holy women of God made themselves beautiful. They adorned the inside with the word of God, and then they had the outside looking good. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husband. Okay, we'll go around. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, and called him her... Hey, look up here. Bible, baby. You know, another translation says she called him Lord. Little L, Lord, not big L, but Lord, Master. Bible, I'm preaching Bible, baby. They go on to tell these wives here, he says, you're Sarah's daughter, you're her daughter, when you do what is right without fear of what your husband might do. Never been about fear. If you're living in a marriage with fear, you need help. I got just a couple more verses. Y'all gonna be okay? You might as well say yeah, because you're gonna get them anyway. 1 Peter chapter 3, final verse in 1 Peter 3, then we're going to go to James 3:16. 1 Peter 3:7 says this. Now, I couldn't let all this stuff fall on the women today. Likewise, everybody say, now ladies say husbands. Husbands. That's the loudest thing y'all said all day. Everything, submit. Submit. Attitude. Husbands. Husbands! And y'all said that with attitude. Likewise, 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. That's not us, but it needs to be us. Why? Showing honor. Come on, ladies, say show honor. Show honor to the women as the weaker vessel. Uh-oh. Amen. My modern day thing don't like that. I don't care. It's in the Bible. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they, your wife, husbands, listen, your wife is an heir with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Yes. Husbands, if you're like, man, I just don't see my prayers, check your marriage. One thing that'll hinder a man, a married man's prayer life, is a bad relationship with his wife. He's not honoring her. He's not taking care of her. He's not providing. He's not leading. He's not providing them security that they need. Well, why, if you're not going to take care of God's daughter, should he honor your prayers? Because he gave you the gift of the wife. Everybody say weaker vessel. It means weaker as physically. Most women are a little bit, I know some today though that's, well, they can... That MMA women's league, I ain't getting in there. Not without a gun. But y'all don't understand what I'm talking about. The weaker of the two vessels doesn't mean you're anything less. It just means God didn't make you to have the testosterone levels that men do. Amen? Didn't give you the same muscle tone as most men. Come on. on a thing, men are physically sometimes stronger than most women. I mean, we're seeing that in the transgender arena of sports. You can take a wimpy man that can't compete with men over here, you can throw him in a women's division and he'll walk away a championship. And you're seeing that. Sad, but we are seeing that. Everybody say it's talking about the physical. Most women are tender. Thank you, God. They're kinder than we are most of the time, unless you get them riled up. They're kinder and sensitive than most men are. How many would agree with that? Now, in that sense, they also become more easily offended sometimes. And we men are pros at getting on that last nerve of offense. It's a gift from God, ladies. Because we're sometimes insensitive. We're not tuned in to your feelings at the time. And we can say some stupid off-the-wall stuff. There's one, praise God. But if you lash back out, now it's on. We're going to talk about the game at some point in this time. Husbands who don't honor their wives properly according to the Word of God, not only will your prayers not get answered, but that's going to bring strife into your marriage. When you don't honor your wife, you're opening the door for strife. Because just like you don't want to hear it, they don't want to hear it or live it either with you. Somebody say amen to that. I got a scripture for that too. James 3:16. For where envying and strife is, there is what? Confusion and every evil work. Now look at that verse. When we as husbands or wives open up and allow strife to come into our marriage, it is not a work of God. It is a work of evil. Everybody say evil. Now, this evil didn't come up to your door, beat it down, and come in and slap you around. You opened the door and welcomed it in by your actions and attitude. And a lot of times, it's not just your actions and attitudes right out of the gate. It's how you respond to your spouse in your marriage. So communication is very important. We're going to talk about some of that this week in this series, too. Stand to your feet today. So let me just leave you with this right here. Again, I love you, and I love you ladies, and I honor you, and I respect you, but I want you to know today that word was, it's in the Bible, and so I'll respect you and your marriage and you women enough to tell you what the Bible says, and men, I'm going to tell you too, we just started on men today, we ain't finished, but God wants to bless your marriage. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants your marriage blessed. And if you got a single person next to you, say, when you get married, God wants it blessed. Amen. Now, if you got a single person too next to you, say, keep your seed out of the garden. Amen. Come on, they need to hear this in the church. Keep your seed out of any garden until God gives you a garden. Amen. That's Bible. I know it ain't popular, but I don't care. It's Bible. So God wants to bless your marriage, right? Satan wants to kill it, steal it, and destroy it. He'll use you. He'll use your spouse. If you have kids, he'll use your kids. If you got a pet, he'll use your pet. He don't care. He has one plan for God's sanctity of marriage, and it's to destroy every one of them. Unfortunately, we work more with the devil's plan for our marriage than we do God's plan so often. But I'm here to tell you, help's on the way. His name is Jesus. He comes in the power of the Holy Spirit to every marriage that opens their hands and their hearts up to God and says, Lord, I may not have had the best example. I may have had a real good example. But Lord, I'm learning some things from the Bible and I want to forget what they did. I want to be a biblical husband. I want to be a biblical wife. And I know my friends may make fun of me. Ladies, listen to me. If you go drinking coffee this week at the coffee shops, and you talk about this and say you're fixing to apply your life to this, you're going to be run out by most women there. They're going to tell you how stupid, how backwoods you are, and how you're not up to speed in today's time, and how dare you. You look at them and say, read the Bible. I believe God will bless my marriage more than your stinking attitude will. You may have to get away from some women. I'm just taking a little bit more liberty. Ladies, whatever you do, stay away from husband haters. Listen to me. Dear God, listen to me. If you're hanging out with your best friend and she ain't happy in her marriage and she's dogging her husband out every time you turn around, try to encourage her, and then if she don't listen, get away. Because some of that's eventually going to roll off on you. Because us all men are stupid at some point in time. And when your husband gets stupid, you're going to take on her attitude. Get away from them man haters. Come on. Men, same thing. Don't hang out with a woman hater or a wife hater. Bashing their wife all day long is creating in you an attitude when you go home. Stick with God. Honor, respect. Everybody say, God wants to bless my marriage. But you know, God can't bless your marriage until he gets you the help you need to get into the position for the blessing. Come on. And that's why God wanted me to preach marriage help. Before a marriage can get healed, it has to realize it needs help. And then when it realizes it needs help, it's got to find a source for what kind of help it's going to receive. Because you can go to a secular counselor, and they will tell you, I save you thousands of dollars. Listen to me. Just listen to me. They're going to come in there, and they're going to ask you to explain about your spouse. And when you start dogging them out, they're going to say, now how does that make you feel? That's the number one question. How does that make you feel? Well, it makes me feel like I'm unimportant. Well, you don't need to be in that environment. Well, he or she also does it. And how does that make you feel? Well, it makes me feel like I'm not loved. Well, you need to feel loved. See, it's all about feelings with them. And they'll even tell you, well, you need to get out of here. I've heard this from counselor after counselor. Usually in the second or third session, that relationship is toxic for your emotions. And you don't need to be in a toxic, so you need to leave your spouse. That came right out of the pits of hell. You don't need to leave your spouse. Your spouse ain't toxic. Not if it's a godly marriage. It's a marriage that's going through some things, and it needs to mature, and it needs to grow up. And you need to work for your spouse, with your spouse, honoring them to get to where you want to be in marriage. Enough of this garbage crap about your feelings. Marriage is not to make you happy, it's to make you holy. You get your marriage holy, you'll be happy. I got to quit. So where do you want to line yourself up today? Do you want to line yourself up to get the world's ideas and the world's help and the world to mess your marriage up quicker than anything I know? Or do you want to line yourself up and say, you know what? God's help, God's word, God's way, 100% success rate. I think I'll take that. And let me leave you with this last parting thing before we pray. Lord, this is what I see all the time. Lord, I want you to help my marriage. And as soon as you fix them, it'll be better. That prayer needs to start right here. Even if you feel like you're not doing anything wrong. Lord, help me to line up with your word. And then help me relate it to where we can be the one that you created us to be. Marriage is not about two individuals. It's about one individual. The two have become one. You surrendered your rights to your spouse. Bow your heads. Before you can ever become one with a spouse, you got to become one with God. Some of you are out here, you've been dating God. You've not committed to him. You've been doing some religious duties. You've been attending some things. But you've never released your life and surrendered your life to become the bride of Christ. And today, God don't want to date you anymore. He wants to marry you. He wants you to come be his bride. He wants you to come in the fulfillment of the perfect marriage of the perfect husband, Jesus Christ. And so, guys, I don't care, men, women, and listen to me today. If you've never given your life to Christ, then you don't know how to be a husband. You don't know how to be a wife, a father or a mother. You've got some ideas of what the secular world's taught you. But today I hope you reach out for help from the hand of God and his word. And so, Father, right now, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you and you've never received, we always do it like this. You are not going to join any church today. You're not joining Journey Church today. It's not about that here. And you are not getting a religion today. What we want you to do is say, I cannot save myself. I'm a sinner. And for my sins to be forgiven, I've got to come to Jesus, because Jesus died. He's the only one that died for my sins. And I can trust him because he died in my place. And if that's you today and you've never made that decision to allow him to be your Lord and your Savior, no strings attached, just lift your hand and say, today's my day. I want to start right now. I want to start my new life in Christ. Anybody? Anyone? Okay. Maybe online. If you made a decision, let us know. We want to pray with you. How many today would say, man, I've been married a while or been married a couple times, whatever. I'm married now or I want to get married. And Father, I need help. Anybody besides me? I need help. I need help being the husband that your word says to be. For you ladies, look, Lord, I need to help being the wife your word calls out. Father, I renounce all the things out of my past that showed me another way. Now, because I've renounced them doesn't mean those people were bad or I don't. But Lord, I don't want anything but what your word says. Because when we do it your way, I have 100% success rate. And I want to enjoy my wife. I want to enjoy my husband and enjoy our family and our kids and what little time we have on planet Earth. And I renounce Satan's plan for my life. My attitudes be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the way you think and process and respond in your marriage. And Lord, I want to submit myself to you to become that spouse that your word calls out. And I'm going to need help walking it out because, Lord, it doesn't just go away overnight. But as I begin to study and I begin to apply this word today, I'm going to activate it in my life. And I don't care if my friends don't like it. I don't care if my family don't like it. Lord, I care about your word. Because marriage is one of the institutes that God created. And because it is God's creation, that's why Satan comes at it so hard, guys. But today we make our minds up to get help from God and his word. If that's you, just lift your hand real quickly. A conscious effort today to go after help from the word of God in our marriage. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray you honor every hand lifted here, every marriage, every future marriage, God. Lord, I pray that it doesn't matter how many years you've been married. You've been 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, God. We're not guaranteed the next year if we don't continue to work at our marriage. It either gets better or it gets worse. It doesn't stand still. So, Father, we submit our marriages to you. Come on, will you pray that with me? Father, I submit my marriage to you. Now, men, I want you to pray this with me. Father, I submit my wife to you. Ladies, pray this with me. Father, I submit my husband to you. And Lord, may we do that because we love him. In the name of Jesus, everybody say amen. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise in this house.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.